All right, we begin here on the top of Lamed Daled Amud Aleph with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is discussing institutions, Midei Rabbanan, with regards to Tumah. Some of the background that we need will come up in Mishnayot later on in the Masechta, and that is that the Mayanot Nida, Mayanot Zav, are Mitameh. Mayanot, as we saw earlier in the Masechta, are defined as areas where there's a pooling of the liquid before it is discharged from the body, and that makes them into a Mayan. A Mayan that is discharged has the same level of tumah as the individual themselves. It's an ava tumah. These are the mashkim that have a din of ava tumah. For instance, meiraglayim of a zav, or the saliva of the zav, those are considered to be mayanot hazav, and they have tumah like the zav himself. They are tameh like an ava tumah. What's unique about them is since they are liquids, then they're only mitameh when they are lach, when they're moist. They're not mitameh when they are yavesh. As opposed to that, the dam of an individual, here we'll speak about a nida, when she discharges the dam is tameh, whether it is lach, or whether it is yavesh, whether it's moist, or whether it's dry, it's mitameh, because the dam and nida, and the zov of the zav, are not problems because of their being a mayan, they're issues because they themselves are tmeim. They are liquids that are discharged that are tmeim. And they come from these individuals who are problematic, and they have a certain level of tumah with them, and that's why they are both mitameh, lach and yavesh, as well as the fact that they are mitameh despite the fact that they are not mayanot. And that the Gemara discussed earlier, because they're not mitagel. They don't collect, they don't pool beforehand, they're discharged right away. So now the Mishnah here is going to deal with these institutions, Midei Rabbanan, that tried to incorporate what we just discussed. Dam Ovedet Kochavim. The dam, the discharge of an Ovedet Kochavim, the dam Tara Shel Mitzorat, as well as the dam Tohar of a Mitzorat, by dam Ovedet Kochavim, has nothing to do with the world of Nida, because they're not in the world of Bnei Israel, they're not in the world of Tumat Nida. Despite that fact, the Chachamim were Gozer, that all Oved Kochavim and Ovedet Kochavim are considered to be Zavim, the Chod Ibrahim. They're like a Zav. And so if they're like a Zav, then you would think maybe the same thing with regards to the Dam that comes out in Oved Kochavim, it should have a din like a Zav. Same thing here with Dam Tarat Shel Mitzorat. Mitzorat has its own world of Tumah, and in the world of Tumat and Mitzorat, the Mayanot, again, those items or liquids that are discharged by a Mitzorat, are affected by the Tumata Mitzorah. But over here, she's discharging Dam. And not only is she discharging Dam, she's discharging Dam, that's Tahor. This is post-Leida. After she's gone through a Yermei Tumah, now she's discharging Dam, that is Dam Tahor. Question is, what is the status of that Dam Tahor? It doesn't qualify as a Mayan, because it is not something that is Mitagel V'yotzei. And so therefore, it's not a Mayan. What's the story with the Dam Tohar of a Mitzorah? So Beit Shammai says, Mitaharim. Beit Shammai says in both these cases, both the dam that comes from the non-Jewish woman and the dam Tohar that comes out of Mitzorat, they are Tehorim, the Gamre. You don't have to worry about them. Beit Hillel Omrim, Kiroka, Ukimemei Ragleha. That it's similar to her saliva and similar to her urine, which means that he's treating it like a Mayan. He's treating it like the liquids that are discharged by these individuals. Whether it is a Zava, a Nida, or it's a Mitzorat, all of them have this din of Mayanot, and the Mayanot are Kiroka, Umeme Ragla, which are examples of Mayanot. The Dam that's being discharged here will have that same status. Even though, again, Mina Torah, if we were to look at Dam Nida, it's Mitame, both Lach and Yavesh, Beit Hillel says, we're going to institute that the Dam of Vedic Kochavim is making it like Roka, Umeme Ragla, again, to make it distinct from Din Nida Midoraita. And even though Beit Shammai believes that an Ovedet Kochavim is considered to be a Zav, the Chol Devareah, he subscribes to that Din of the Chachamim. Nevertheless, because they wanted to separate or make it distinct that this is only a Din Derabbanan, not Din Doraita, they did not impose Tumah on the Dam of the Ovedet Kochavim. And the same thing with regards to the Dam Tohar of the Mitzorat. Again, even though the Mayanot of the Mitzorat are Tmeim, they are an Abba Tumah, Dam Tohar is not a Mayan. And since the dam nida is not considered to be a mayan, then according to Beit Shammai, the dam is Torah, because midoraita, it's not a mayan, and therefore the discharge that comes out, which is Torah, because it's dam toar of leida, or whether it's dam that is colored in such a way that it's not dam nida, so both of those discharges are tohorim midoraita, and there's no reason midorabanan to institute any din of tumah. The other hand, Beit Hillel believes that even though you're right, the dam nida or the uterine blood or anything comes out of the uterus is not considered to be a mayan, nevertheless, the Torah included it because there's a special riboy by mitzorat that deems that area to be as if it is a mayan, even though in reality it's not a mayan, and we'll see that in the Gemara where they have a riboy for that halacha. Dama yoledet shelo tavla, a woman who has given birth and never went to the mikveh. So now she's sending dam after the period of time of her Yemei Tumah, but she has yet to go to the mikveh for her Yemei Tumah. Beit Shammai omrim kiroka ukimemei raglaha. Beit Shammai says that the dam that she is discharging now, even though for them it's considered to be dam Torah, they make it like roka umemei raglaha. Beit Hillel omrim mitamei lach viyavesh. Beit Hillel makes it like as if it's completely tmei'a, as if it was dam nida, which is mitamei lach and yavesh. So nida, or even a woman who is a yoledet, if she doesn't go to the mikveh, she remains tmei'a benidata. And we learn from Sukkim, we'll see later on. And therefore, as far as the roka and meimei ragla, there's no question that the tumah persists here, because she's still tmei'a, she didn't go to the mikveh. On the other hand, with regards to the dam toar, here there is a fundamental machloket whereby Beit Shammai believes that the dam toar switches to being tahor irrespective of whether she goes to the mikveh or not. Despite the fact that it doesn't go to the mikveh, it is tahor. Nevertheless, Beit Shammai would go zero here, that it have a din like a mayan, and that it would be mitamei lach and not yavesh. So that's distinct from the regular dam nida, because by regular dam nida, it would be mitamei lach and yavesh. So you have a heker that this is only a din derabanan and not a din d'oraita. And here, Beit Shammai does not say that Dilma Hati L'Chalik B'Shodra, does not say that that may be influential in coloring what the din is midoraita. If you think it's lach and yavesh here now, maybe you're going to think that that's the din d'oraita when she does have a discharge of dam. Rashi explains over there by the Obed HaKochavim, where the whole institution is midorabanan, and you already created tremendous harchoko distance between them, then okay, to be mitaher the dam is not a big deal as a heker to understand that it's different or it's the rabbanan. And the dam toar of the mitzorat, over there, she went to the mikveh already. And it really is toar midoraita. Over there, there's no reason to institute a din dirabonon and make it any chumrah of tumah because she is toar midoraita. And nobody's going to mix that up with anything else because she already went to the mikveh over there and her dam is dam toar. So that's not going to be confused with regular dam nida or regular discharges of a mitzorah. But over here, where the only din derabanan is reflected in the dam itself, they were gozer but left over a small heker, but they don't worry about there being any mix-up with shel Torah because everybody knows that once you pass the yemei leida of tumah, that you're in the days of Tohar. And therefore everybody will know that it's a din derabanan and not a din d'oraita. So even though, again, Beit Shammai is worried about this chilakta b'shel Torah with regards to the gzeira by the Ovedet Kochavim, her dam, by the dam Tohar of Emetzorat, they're not worried about it because there they say it's obvious and clear to the people that this is a din derabanan and not a din d'oraita. Omodim, b'yoledet b'zov, and they agree, meaning Beit Shammai agrees to Beit Hillel, the woman gave birth b'ziva, then she never was mitaheret min the ziva, she never went to the mikveh for that, she never had her shivnikim, shumitama lach v'yavesh, that the liquid discharged will be mitameh lach v'yavesh, because she remains a full-fledged zava until she goes to the mikveh. Now, if she does count shivnikim after her yemei tumah, and then doesn't go to the mikveh, it will precipitate the same machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai as to if she didn't go to the mikveh after Yemei Tumah and then entered her Yemei Tohar. So now the Gemara is going to go through each one of these items in the Mishnah and discuss the background or the reasoning behind the positions of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai in the Mishnah. So, V'leit lehu the Beit Shammai. Doesn't Beit Shammai subscribe to the fact that Dabero b'nei Yisrael v'amar to lehem ish ish ki yeh zav b'nei Yisrael mitamim b'ziva v'inu avdei kochavim mitamim b'ziva, that the din of ziva or the world of zav only applies to Jews, doesn't apply to non-Jews. Aval gazru lehem shiu zavim b'kol divrehem. Despite the fact that word gozer, the Gemara in Shabbat discusses that they will be considered or classified as a zav b'kol divrehem. As Rashi notes over here, he brings the gzeira of the Chachamim from Shabbat. The reason that behind that gzeira was Mishum Tzoloyei Tinok Yisrael Ragil Eitzlo B'Mishkab Zachor, so that there wouldn't be a lot of interaction between the younger Jewish boys and the Ovei Kochavim because homosexual acts that were performed or sodomization of these children, and therefore they wanted to keep their distance. That's what the Gemara claims in Shabbat was the reason behind it. And it seems to be, more generally, a way to be marchik, to create a separation, which is that if everything that the individual does is tameh, then you're going to stay away from them, and that gives you a certain amount of separation or distinction between the Ovei Kochavim and the Jews. Tosafot already raised the issue that you're raising, which is, why is it that by Kutit, we have a more stringent principles with regards to the Tumah of the Kutit than we have by Ovei the Kochavim? Tosafot explained that the Kutim were more integrated into Klal Yisrael, and therefore they need to have higher grades of separation in order to prevent their being intermingling. By the Ovdei Kochavim, there was more natural distinction or separation, therefore you needed less in terms of Tumah in order to create that separation. So doesn't Beit Shammai have this principle that is established in the Gemara in Shabbat with regards to non-Jews, Ovdei Kochavim, that they're considered to be Zavin L'chol Divrehem? And if they are Zavin L'chol Divrehem, then why over here does Beit Shammai not think that the Dam Ovdei Kochavim is Mitama? Samer Lecha Beit Shammai, Eichid Avid. What are you going to do in terms of Tumah here? The Tamei Lach V'Yavesh, if you say that she's going to be Tamei Tumat Nida of Lach V'Yavesh for the Dam that she discharges, then Asito Kishel Torah, then the non-Jewish woman looks no different than the Torah prescribed Tumah for a Israeli woman, which is that Mayonoteha, any liquid that's Mitagela comes out as a Mayan, as Mitamei, like an Ava Tumah, if it's Lach, not if it's Yavesh, and Dam that is exuded, is discharged by the Israeli woman, is Tamei Lach and Yavesh. So now, if you make the Ovei Kochavim look exactly like the Jewish woman, then there's no distinction between Shel Torah and this institution, Midei Rabbanan. And that can create confusion, because you would then think you burn Truma when she comes into contact with it. You would be Sorev Kodoshim. There would be things that you would do because you would think it's exactly like the din of Torah. You need some sort of distinction between Torah-prescribed Tuma and Rabbinic-prescribed Tuma. So the Tamei Lach below the Tamei Yavesh. So then, okay, make it easy. Just say that the Dam is only Mitamei when it's moist, not when it is Yavesh, not when it is dry. So that way you'd have a distinction from the din of the Torah. Israelite woman, if she has sightings of Mayanot, she's Mitama Lach and not Yavesh. She has sightings of Dam, she is Mitama Lach and Yavesh. That Dam, Nida, is Mitama both. The Ovei Kochavim that we made like a Zava, well, she will have the same din by the Mayanot, but she'll have a distinct din by the Dam, which is her Dam will only be Mitama when it's Lach, not when it's Yavesh, which is the Shita of Beit Hillel, basically. So Zavar is asking, why not do that according to Beit Shammai? And Beit Shammai answers, Chilakta B'Shel Torah. There's too big a risk here that you might consider this to be the din of Torah, and then you would then think that that is the same din for the Israelite woman. If you make her Tmeah for her rope and Memei Raglah, which are Mayanot, Lach and not Yavesh. And then by Dam Nida, you say, you know what? The Dam of the Nida is also only Tamei, Lach, not Yavesh. People are going to come to think that that's the din of Torah. And if that's the din of Torah, they're going to go back to Israelite woman and say, oh, the din Torah by the Israelite woman is the same thing, which is Mitamei Lach, not Yavesh. And now they're going to make a mistake about the Dam Nida, thinking it's a Mayan, thinking that it's just like any other liquid discharge of the Nida, which for her Memei Raglah and Roka only has the din of Lach and not Yavesh. And same thing with the Dam. And they don't realize that there's such a distinction. And so they're going to confuse the din of the Ovei Kochavim with the din of the Torah. So you're actually playing on both sides here. Can't make it exactly like the Torah Din, because then people think it's a Torah prescribed Tuma. If you make it a little different than the Torah Din, then you have a problem as well, because people are going to think that that's the way it is by women that have discharges of Dam. And then you're going to apply it to a Jewish woman. So you have to make it distinct enough that we understand it's a Din Derabanan, but also distinct enough that we understand that it's a Din Derabanan that can't be applied to a Jewish woman. We have to create that distinction as well. So the solution that Beit Shammai comes up with is to say that there is no Tuma whatsoever by the Dam of the Ovedet Kochavim. That way it's different than the Israeli woman who has Dam Nida. That Dam itself is Mitameh Lach and Yavesh. And it's distinct in the fact that nobody's going to confuse now and think that whatever is true of the Ovedet Kochavim is also true of an Israeli woman, because you made it so distinct or so differentiated from the Jewish woman. That's the Shita of Beit Shammai. So then the Gemara then asks, Why are you only making the distinction within the Dam of the Nida? Make the distinction in the saliva, the urine. So the Gemara says, Kevin Davin and Hekera Bidama made the Yediyah, the Roka Meregla, the Rabbana. Since we make this distinction within the world of Dam, then we know that the remaining factors that come from this Tumat HaZiva that we associate with the Ovedet Kochavim, we'll know that they're Derabbanan, because we know by Dam, the Din is different. The Dam is different. That means that whatever Tumah she has by Roka and Meme Ragla is only a Din Derabbanan. So Gemara says, okay, why don't you just flip it around and say, why don't you make her saliva and her urine to Horim to make the Heker, and then say that her Dam is Tmeah. How did you pick which things are going to be Tmeim and which things are not going to be Tmeim? How do you know which one is the Heker and which one has the normal Din of a Zav? So Gemara answers, the saliva and the urine, which are the most common liquid discharges of the woman, gazruhu barabanan. That's where the rabbanan kept their gzera in place, that she has a din like a zava. Dama, deloshchicha, the discharge of dam, which is not a common occurrence. That doesn't mean inherently it's not a common occurrence. It means relative to roka and meme ragla, it's less frequent. So then, lo gazruhu barabanan. Rabbanan were not gozer. So that's the view of Beit Shammai as to why they believe in the Mishnah that Dam Nida of a non-Jewish woman is to hora the gamre. Again, it is to distinguish it from the din of a Israelit, to tell you it's a din de Rabbanan, not a din de Oraita. And they pick Dam as the vehicle for making that point because it's the least frequent of the discharges of the woman. And they made the distinction there, but by everything else they treated her like a Zaba. And there they also went to an extreme and said that it doesn't have Tumah at all. So it makes it clear that this is distinct from Israelit, and you don't back into the din of a Israelit from the Ovedet Kochavim and think her Dam has the same din as the Dam of the Ovedet Kochavim, because here you see it's so distinct or so different. That's the view of Beit Shammai. Marava, Zovo, Tamei, Afilu de Beit Shammai, Kerio Tahor, Afilu de Beit Hillel. That when it comes to the Zavi mission of an individual, Rava says that even Beit Shammai will agree that it is Tamei. So even though over here by Dam of a Nida, they don't think it's Tamei at all, by the Zav or the Zov mission, a person who is a Zav, then that will be Tamei, even according to Beit Shammai. Kerio, his seminal missions, will be Tahor, even according to Beit Hillel, who says in our Mishnah that the Dam of the Nida has a din of Mitamei Lach and not Yavesh. By the case of Kerio, by Keri, he will say that it's Tahor the Gamre, like Beit Shammai. The reason being, Zavoto Mei Afilu the Beit Shammai, Daika the Mei Avad Hekera beKerio. The reason that by the Zov, we say it's the exact same din as the Zavi mission of a Zav from Israel, so the Zav Oved Kochavim, his discharges will be exactly the same, is because we have an area of Halacha where we already have a Heker, and that is by Kerio. By his semen, we will make a distinction. Now, Kerio Tahor, Afilu Beit Hillel, and the Keri is Tahor according to Beit Hillel, Avod Bei Rabban and Hekero, because you need to make a Hekero over here. Kekedolu Yisroel for Lake Truma, Kodoshim. Now, the Girsa and the Gemara is somewhat difficult, as the Bali Tosafot and Tosafot Dorosh point out. We already said before that on a Sefek Tuma of an Ama Aretz, we're still Reif Truma, so certainly over a Sefek Oveid Kochavim, you would do the same thing. So the Bali Tosafot say that that's not the case. And that is because by a Safek Ama Aretz, There is a drora de tuma, which means there's a possibility or an option for tuma do raita. And therefore, it's more chamor, and that's why we're sereif the truma. By the case of a oved kochavim, there's never a possibility of tuma do raita, and that's why we're not sereif that truma. The Tosafot Rosh goes one step further and brings another gemara, which seems to indicate that even over a oved kochavim, we would be sereif the truma. And how do you reconcile that with our gemara over here? He says that that was an added gzeira, or an added chumrah that was put on after the fact. And our gemara is truly speaking, mi'ikar adin. To solve that problem, the gra here actually changes the girsa and eliminates truma and kodoshim because they would be nisraf, like the Balei Tosafot and Tosafot Rosh are trying to point out, and exchanges it with lo lechayiv aleha al tumat mikdash v'kodoshav, which then is not dealing with the sreifa of truma and kodoshim. So therefore, Beit Hillel has to agree you need a heker, and they make the heker by the semen. And Beit Shammai has to agree that once you have the heker by the semen, there's no reason to make a heker by the zov. The reason that you need a heker that's different than dam nida, by Beit Hillel, dam nida is mitamei lach and yavesh. Since it's mitamei lach and yavesh, the way to make a heker is to say it's only mitamei lach, not yavesh. So that's already a heker, and that's why Beit Hillel disagrees with Beit Shammai. Here, by the case of Keri and Zov, they're only mitamei lach, they're not mitamei yavesh. So if you want to make a heker, you have to make them to orim legamre. Because otherwise you have no distinction from the din of Israel. So if the Shechvat Zerah is only mitamei when it's lach, then how do you make a heker that you're a din derabonon? You say it's not tamei at all. So that's why Beit Hillel agrees by Keri that it's tahor legamre, like the view of Beit Shammai, because that's the heker that you need. Once you've established a heker by Keri, you don't need a heker by the zov of the zav. And that's why Beit Shammai is going to agree by the Zova of the Zav that it's mitamei lach and not yavesh, like it is by Israel. So that's the view of Rav, or that's Rav's conclusion as to what would be the views of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai in this situation based on their positions with regards to Dam Nida. So then the Gemara says, how did you decide which one or which item to suspend and which item to have the regular tuma? You have two choices. You have zov and you have keri. You can make it that the keri is tamei lach and not yavesh, and the zov has no tuma at all, or vice versa. The way that we do have it, or the way Rava states it, is that the keri is not mitamei at all, and the zov is mitamei lach and not yavesh. How did you know which one to make tamei and which one to make the heker? So my answer is zovo delo tali b'maseh, zov, which is only an involuntary emission and has nothing to do with you, meaning that it's not precipitated by any thought or any action. Gazru be rabbana. There, the rabbana would go zer tuma. Kerio, the talib maaseh, as opposed to semen, which is talui in the individual's thoughts, individual's activities, actions, then lo gazru be rabbana. Why that is the distinction is interesting, because if you were to use the same distinction we made before by Beit Shammai, which is shchiach and lo shchiach, it would seem to be that keri is more shchiach and zov is less shchiach. So if you wanted to make a heker, you'd make the less shchiach thing the heker, which is the zov, and the keri you would leave a tuma. So based on the principles of Beit Shammai established before, that would have been the distinction you made. Nevertheless, the Gemara ignores the shchiach aspect of it and says that it's a question of it's involuntary versus voluntary. If it's involuntary, the Gemara says we kept the gzeira d'rabbanan of tuma, where it's a voluntary emission of sorts, then we make it that that's where the heker is. That is because, as the Tosafot Rosh points out, if you can control it, that eliminates the aspect of shchiach. Since you can control it, that stops it from being shchiach, because it's not something that happens on a regular basis. It needs to be precipitated, and therefore it loses its status of shchiach. All right, so now the Gemara says, Lema misayile. Let us say we have a bright da that supports Rava's contention over here, which is Ovede kochavim shepalta shechvat zera miYisrael. A non-Jewish woman who discharges, exudes, has come out of her the semen of a Jewish man that had biah with her, tmeah. She is tmeah like the din of paletet shechvat zera for a Jewish woman that has semen inside of her that's discharged, that she's also tmeah. As Rashi points out over here, obviously the woman herself is not Tmeah because she is a Ovedet Kochavim. And so when you say Tmeah here, it must be a reference to the Shechvat Zera itself. And for the remainder of this Gemara here, whenever we say that she is Tmeah, we don't mean the Ovedet Kochavim because she's not relevant to the world of Tumah. It means that the shechet zera that she discharges will have a din of tumah and be able to eat metamei items. Bat Yisrael shall patach shechet zera min oved kochavim. In the reverse situation, in which oved kochavim had biyah with a Jewish woman, and then that Jewish woman discharges the semen afterwards, then tehorah, she is tehorah. So the din of the woman is determined by the man, which is the semen that's there. If it's Jewish semen, then it has the din of Poletet Shechvat Zera, even though it's a non-Jewish woman. And if it's the non-Jewish semen, then it is not Mitamei, like Shechvat Zera, even if it is a Jewish woman who is expelling it. My love, from the Brayta, wouldn't you suggest that Tahora, when we say that the Oved Kochavim, that deposited the semen inside of the Bat Yisrael, that she is Tahora, that is Tumura Gimura, completely Tahora, which would sound like Rova. Rava said that both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree that by Kerio, it's Tahor. By Keri, it's completely Tahor, because that was the Heker by the male. So if he says that the Keri is Tahor, that's why the Poletet Shechvat Zera of a non-Jewish man has no Tumah. Where it says, lo, Tahora midoraita, Tmeya midrabanan. You could read the Braita saying that it is Tahor mina Torah, but it's still Tamei midrabanan. You don't have to read the Braita that way. You could read the Braita that way. If you could read the Braita that way, the Braita is no longer proof to Rova that when we say the Shechvat Zera of a non-Jew is Tahor, that's according to both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Based on the Braita, it's possible you could read it that it's still Tamei Midrabanan. So we don't have any proof from the Braita. We also don't have any disproof from the Braita. The Braita could be read either way. Since it is not definitive, therefore it can't tell us anything about the din of Rova. Tashma, let's look at this Braita. Nimtzei Tomer, Shechvat Zera Shel Yisrael Tmeya B'chol Makom. The semen of a Jewish man is Tamei everywhere. Even internally, by a non-Jewish woman, it is Tamei. Not, obviously, if it's internal to her. When it's internal, it doesn't have any impact. It means that if she discharges it later on, that it will have impact as if she's a Poletet Shechvat Zera. The semen of an Oved Kochavim is Tohra B'chol Makom, is completely Tohor everywhere. Afilu B'mei Yisraelit. Even inside of a Jewish woman, chutz mimei raglayim sheva, with the exception of the urine that is with it, as Rashi notes over here, de'ip tichei bimei raglayim. If the semen is mixed together with urine, then they are tmeim, because we already established that by the Ovedet Kochavim, both the Ovedet Kochavim, they're treated like a zav, or a zavah l'chol divrehem. That means urine, which is considered to be a mayan, is mitamei. We already saw that. Even Beit Shammai agrees to that. So therefore, if it's mixed between Mei Raglayim and the Shechvat Zera, the Mei Raglayim governs or wins the day, and therefore it would be tamei. If you're going to read this Braita that the semen of a non-Jew is tahor, that means tahor mina Torah, but still tmeya midrabanan, atu mei raglayim midoraita. Then what are you going to do with the next part of the Braita that says, if it's mixed together with urine, that it is Tamei? The urine of a non-Jewish man or woman is Tamei, but it's clearly only Tamei Midrabanan. Because in the Halacha Midoraita, there's no such thing as a Zav and a Zavah for non-Jewish men and women. They don't have anything to do with that parsha. It says, it's a din for Bnei Yisrael, it's not a din for non-Jews. So it's clear that when we speak about Tumah here of Mei Raglayim, that's only Tumah Midrabanan. If that's true, then the Tahora that is spoken about before that must be Tahor, even Midrabanan. Because if the Tumah in the Braita is only Midrabanan, then the Tahor in the Braita must be even Midrabanan, it is Tahor. And that Braita would be a proof to Rava's position. Well, Shmamina Tahora, Afilu Midrabanan, Shmamina, that Braita clearly thinks that the semen of a non-Jew is Tahora the Gamre, and therefore it is supportive of Rava's contention that by Keri, even Beit Hillel agrees to Beit Shammai's position here to Hor the Gamrei, that's the Heker. And by missions of Ezav, we would say that it is Tamei Lach and not Yavesh, because over there we don't need any Heker, because we already have the Heker by the Keri. Amar Mar. So Gemara now goes back to discuss the fact that Shechvat Zera Shel Yisrael, Tmeya B'chol Makom. The semen of an individual, Yisrael, is Tamei anywhere. Afilu B'mei Obedet Kochavim. Even inside of a non-Jewish woman. Tifshot the Bai Rav Papa. This should be able to answer the question Rav Papa raised in the Gemara and Shabbat. The Bai Rav Papa. Shechvat Zera Shel Yisrael B'mei Ovedet Kochavim. Mahu. The semen of a Jewish man that is deposited inside of a non-Jewish woman, and then it's being discharged. What is the din? So Rav Papa had a question with regards to the Shechvat Zera of Yisrael B'meir Mir Kuchavim, and it would seem that our Braita answers that question and says that the Shechvat Zera of a Jew inside of B'meir Kuchavim is Tmeah, and she is considered to be a Poletet Shechvat Zera. So if that's the case, we've answered Rav Papa's question. The Gemara says, well, that's not the case, because Rav Papa's question is not about the first 3 days, which is the Braita's address. Within the first 3 days, Rav Papa has no question that it is mitama, just like it is by a Jewish woman. By a Jewish man that deposits semen in a Jewish woman, if she's polleted to Shechvat Zera for up to 3 days, that Shechvat Zera is still efficacious Shechvat Zera, not masriach, and therefore it's mitama, the woman, because of polleted Shechvat Zera. And so Rav Papa doesn't have a question by the non-Jewish woman as well. Within the first 3 days, it's clear that the semen is still effective, and it is, therefore, in the first 72 hours, considered to be Tamei. And if she expels it, she's going to be a Poletet Shechvat Zera. When she discharges the Jewish semen in the first 3 days, there the bright that thinks it's Tamei Ah, and Rav Papa doesn't disagree. Question is, question arises after 3 days. By the Jewish woman, we say after 3 days, if she's Poletet Shechvat Zera, she is Tehora, because we say that the Shechvat Zera was Masriach. It went bad. It went putrid because it's past its lifespan. And because it's already past its lifespan, it's no longer deemed to be Shechvat Zera. And so if she discharges it, she's not going to be Tmeah. So there am I. What's the din? His question is post 3 days, whether it's now Tehora, because Israel, the Daigi B'mitzvot, Jews that are intensely focused on the performance of mitzvot, the way Rashi says it, Yireim v'charedim b'mitzvot. They are fearful, and they are careful, and they have alacrity, as well as a deep-seated concern for the mitzvot. It's not clear from Rashi whether we're speaking about mitzvot lota se'rasei, or maybe that's the reason he gives two different verbs here. Yireim, they fear with regards to the mitzvot lota se'rasei, and charedim, they're careful in their practice of the mitzvot se'rasei. When we talk da'agatan mitchamemim, and from all that worry, it causes a heat of the body. There's a physiological impact of their being doeg for the mitzvot. And therefore, chavil galfayu umasriach. The heat of the body causes the deterioration of the semen internally inside of the woman. Ovdei kochavim that don't have that worry, don't have that performance anxiety. Therefore, they don't have the physiological heat of the body. So lo chavil gufayu v'lo masriach. And therefore, maybe the semen has a longer lifespan inside of the non-Jewish woman. Odoma, or maybe it makes no difference because kevin d'achli shkatzim vira masim, since they eat these types of foods that Jews do not partake in, which the Gemara thinks are chavil gufayu, causes a heating of the body. The body, maybe its reaction to these types of foods, whether it's because in the world of Tuman Tara, these are considered to be Tmeim, and therefore they have this effect of causing the physiological body to heat up, and therefore Masriach, and it causes it to be Masriach, Teku. The Gemara leaves that as an unresolved issue. So Papa's question is post 3 days, whether it's now Tehora, because of the physiological differences that are precipitated by these spiritual issues, what is that impact on the semen? Does it cause a faster deterioration of it, and therefore that's why by Jewish women after 3 days there's no Poletet Shechvat Zera and won't be applicable to non-Jewish women? Or do non-Jewish women have their own issues that create the same effect physiologically that the semen deteriorates after 72 hours? That, Gemara leaves, is an unresolved issue, an unresolved question that Rav Papa had raised. Dam Torah Shel Mitzorah. So now we finally get to the second part of the Mishnah. We already addressed the first case of the Mishnah, which is Dam Ovedet Kochavim. Over there, Beit Shammai require that it be Torah Legamre to have a heker. And the heker was twofold, we said. One is to say it's a din derabbanan. And number two, to say that you're not going to think that this is the din d'oraita from this Ovedet Kochavim and apply it to Israeli. For that reason, they made the dam nida of an Ovedet Kochavim, Torah Legamre. Beit Hillel disagrees and says that you can have a heker by having it being only Tamei Lach and not Yavesh. Because dam nida for Israeli is Tmeah, both Lach and Yavesh. So the distinction, the non-Jew will be, it only be Mitameh Lach, not Yavesh. So that's your heker to know that it's a din derabanan. Besides that, they argue Beit Shammai and say that even in that situation, people aren't going to extrapolate that and say that that must be the din d'oraita for a Jewish woman as well. They'll know that that's the din for a non-Jewish woman and not for a Jewish woman. So they argue on both of those points. Therefore, Beit Hillel believes that the dam anida of an Obed Kochavim is mitameh lach and not yavesh. Now we're to the second thing that the Mishnah mentioned, which is the dam toar of a mitzorat, where we have the same machloka between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And the Gemara says about that, my time at the Beit Hillel. What's the reason behind Beit Hillel here? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, the Zachar, the Rabot Mitzora, the Mayanotav. The end of the Parshia of Zav, at the end of Parshat Mitzora, it says, Vadava benidata, Vadzav et Zobo, la Zachar, vila nekeva, la ish sheishkav im tmea. So la Zachar, ulnekeva, we darshened earlier, that la Zachar is the Rabot Mitzora, the Mayanotav. The Zachar teaches you that a Mitzora has the same din as a Zav, and that all of their emissions, liquid emissions that are mitagel v'yotze, that pool and then are discharged, are its meim. And again, by the mitzorat, you have the same din from the word nekeva, that all of her mayanot are mitameh, when she has discharges of liquids from them, saliva, urine, all of those from a mitzorat also have the same din. So my mayanotah. What are the things that the nekeva has that you are telling us are mitamei lach and not yavish? Ilei mashar mayunotea, if you think anything else, that she discharges, liquid discharges, mizachar nafka. You can learn that out from a zachar. What's the difference between a male and a female with regards to saliva, with regards to urine? It's all the same. So if the zachar, mitzora, has tumat mayanot, then the nekeva should also have tumat mayanot. So then why would you mention nekeva separately? Ela ledama, the tamei dam, tohra, shela. To tell you that her dam is different. To say that even though she has dam tohar now, because she was yoledet while she was in mitzorat, and she gave birth, and now she's in her period of time where she is classified as having dam tohor, so with regards to leda, the dam is tohor. But with regards to the fact that she's in mitzorat, that becomes like a mayan of the mitzorat, and the discharge is going to be tamei, lach, and not yavesh. That's the reasoning behind Beit Hillel. Now, even though, as we know from before, that the dam of a nida is not considered to be a mayan, because we know that it's not mitagel v'yotze. And similarly, the dam leida should not be considered like a mayan. Despite that fact, Beit Hillel has a pasuk, which is indicating to us that it is a mayan, because why else would you have to mention the word nekeva for mitzorat separately than a mitzorat zachar? Why do you have to distinguish between them? It must be something unique to a mitzorat. And what's unique to a mitzorat, a woman who is a mitzora, is the fact that she has discharges of dam, and those discharges of dam should be impacted by her being a mitzorat. So it's deemed to be like a mayan. And it also points out that they don't just pick dam that is discharged or exuded from any other part of the body, because that would be creating a new form of tuma that never existed before. So it makes sense to associate it with dam of discharge that has tuma in other locations, and that's why they pick the dam of the woman that's being discharged while she is in mitzorat, because that's an area that has tuma in other situations. Beit Shammai, nekeva, mizachar lo atya. You can't learn nekeva from zachar. Dikal mifrach. There is a logical undermining of that. Limud, mal zachar, shekein taun, priya, uprima, vasur b'tashmish. A mitzorat zachar has a unique din with regards to some matters. The requirement for rending the clothing of the mitzorah, as well as growing out their hair, is only a din by a mitzorah. It is not a din by a mitzorat. That's because the psukim say, ish poreo poreim, venisha porat uporemet. And also by tashmish amita, it says that he will have to be, during his spirot, michutz loholo. He has to be outside of his ohel, and ohel is a reference to his wife, but it says chutz lo alo, out of his tent, and not chutz meola, and not out of her tent. So she doesn't have any restriction of tashmish shemita, versus the mitzorah, who is a male, who during his yimei sfiro, has a din of isur tashmish shemita. So that's a chumrah that is associated with the male mitzorah, porea, the wild hair, prima, the rent clothing, and the tashmish mitah, which is michutz la'olo, all apply to a zachar, a mitzorat, don't apply to mitzorat. So you can't learn from there, Tomar bin Akeva, Dolo. You can't learn from the Keva who doesn't have all those items. Ubeit Hillel, Dikhtov Rachmana bin Akeva, Dolo Bai Zakar. Just flip the problem. If you say you can't learn from Zakar to Nekeva, because Zakar is a Chumrah, then just put the din by Nekeva, and then you can learn Zakar from the Nekeva. Nekeva that doesn't have the requirements of grown out hair and torn clothing and the Isrim Tashmish Amita, nevertheless, Rabbi Rachmana Mayanotah, the Torah says that all of her Mayanot are Tmeot, Zakar lo kosh, okay? That a male that has all of these, certainly his Mayanot should be Tmeot. And if you know the Zakar, and now I don't need it by Zakar to teach me any new din, so now you know the Nekeva, then you'll teach me about the Nekeva. And on the manual, and I don't need you to teach me about my yanot anymore because I already know that from the word nekeva. The dama dam torah shelat. To tell you that any discharge of dam from her of dam that comes from the mekor is going to be tmeya. Now most of it is naturally tmeya. Dam nida is tmeya. Dam of a zaba, dam of leda are all tmeim. The dam is tmeya. You don't need the mitzorah to change that. What you need that is when you have dam tohar. During the latter part of her days after the Leda, when her, any sighting of Dam is Tahor, Mitzad, the din of Nida, or the side of Tuma, from the discharges from the uterus, there you need it, as well as if she has a discharge of liquid that does not meet the requirements to be Dam Nida. It's a color that's not considered to be Nida. Both of those will be Tmeim now based on this Limud from the Mitzorat that teaches us that discharges of a Mitzorat have a din of Tuma. And the only ones that matter, that don't automatically become Tmeim because they're Mayanot, or because they themselves are inherently Tmeim, like Dam Nida, is the Dam Toar of the Mitzorat. That Dam Toar then is captured by this extraneous language of Zachar and Nekeva. Ubeit Shammai, Zachar and Nekeva lo atyom. Wait a minute. I told you that it was impossible to learn Lekeva from Zachar because Zachar is a Chumrah. The same is true in the reverse. You can't learn out Zakar from a Nekeva, Diga the Mifrach, because you have a Chumrah by Nekeva. Mal Nekeva Shkei Mitama Meonis, that a Nekeva doesn't matter if her sighting of Dam happened inadvertently, involuntarily, or voluntarily. Doesn't really matter how she discharges Dam. As long as Dam exits the uterus, it makes the woman into a Nida, it makes her Tmeya. So by that, that's a Chumrah, because Tomar v'Zakar, the Lo. By Zakar, we already learned that it says Bibsaro, that it has to come out of his Basar. It has to be an emission that is generated because of the ailment of Zav, not an emission that's caused by other exogenous factors, which the Gemara will discuss, that can precipitate a Zav emission. And so, you have a Chumrah by an Isha where it's irrespective of how the Dam is discharged. It's considered to be Tamei versus the Zav where there is a distinction, only if it happens unintentionally, involuntary, it happens because the body discharges it, that's when it's Tameh. Otherwise, it's not Tameh. That's a Chumrah by Nekeva. Right? Hillel says back to them, Kaimi b'mitzorah, parche mile d'zav. We're talking about a mitzorah and a mitzorat. And I'm saying to you, you can learn from a mitzorat to a mitzorah. You come along and say, no, you can't, because by a zavah woman, she has a different din than a zav. But Hillel says, what does it have, one have to do with the other? You're talking apples and oranges. You're not bringing me a Chumrah in the world of mitzorah. The other way around, where the Zakar will teach the Nekeva, there you brought me Chumrot that are in the world of Mitzorah. Priya, Frima, and Tashmisha Mita, those are relevant to the world of Mitzorah. So that you're right, you can't learn from Zakar to Nekeva, because Zakar has those Chumrot. But over here, you're telling me you can't learn from Nekeva Mitzorah to a Mitzorah Zakar because of the din of Zav. Zav is a different din, it has nothing to do with Mitzorah. You're right, by Zav, there is a Chumrah by the woman that she's Mitamea bonus. But that's just not true over here by the world of Mitzorat. Beit Shammai responds to them, Shum Tuma Parche. The Pircha doesn't have to be a line exactly. It doesn't have to be about Sarat. It has to be in the world of Tuma. And I'm asking you something that is relevant to the world of Tuma, and that's sufficient to undermine the logic that you are bringing. V'ibai Deima, and some suggest, Amelcha Beit Shammai, Haile Zachar Mi Ba'ile. The reason that he doesn't learn like Beit Hillel, he agrees you could have learned the Kal v'Chomer from the Keva Mitzorat to the Mitzorah. He agrees with Beit Hillel. Problem is, he doesn't have the word Zachar around extraneous. Because he learns from the word Zachar, Kol Shehu Zachar. The word Zachar, he learns out that there is too much Zob for a male, even if he's one day old. Ben Gadol, Ben Katan. Beit Hillel, Nafka, Lehu, Mizot, Torah, Tazav. Ben Gadol, Ben Katan. But Beit Hillel learns it out from Zotara Tazav, And that Zav doesn't give any distinction in age. It doesn't have the word Ish associated with it. Therefore, it means any age of Zav would be relevant. So they both learn it out either from Torat HaZav or from the word Zachar, not from Ish Ish, which is the way that we learned it before. But they agree with the view of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha says, Ein Tzarich, Hari Omer, Lezachar Ninekeva. He says, Ish Ish is Dibra Torah, Lashon Bnei Adam. That's just a normal literary style. Here, both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree that that is a literary style. Therefore, they can't learn out of Ish Ish, even though as the Bali Tosafot say that Beit Hillel could have learned out of Ish Ish. Gemara just wants to set it up, even according to the one, like Rabbi Shmo says, that Dibra Torah, Lashon Bnei Adam, they have another source for it. And their source is Mizot Torah HaZav, Ben Gadol Ben Katan. Since Beit Hillel's source is Zot Torah HaZav, then he has Zachar and Nekeva available for Limudim, and Zachar is extraneous, and that's how he learns out the din of Mayanot of the Nekeva by Dam is going to be problematic. Whereas Beit Shammai, who needs the word Zachar to teach about the age of a Zav, that it's any age, then he doesn't have the word Zachar available, he only has the word Nekeva available. So he'll learn Nekeva, Mitzorah from there, and a Kal V'chomer will teach you about a Mitzorah. But we don't have any extraneous language to learn about the Mayanot of a Mitzorah, the Dam Toar of a Mitzorat. Even though earlier we saw that whoever made the drush of Zachar also made the drush of Nekeva. Zachar means kol dehu Zachar, and Nekeva means kol dehi Nekeva. Nevertheless, it could be that the drush of here for Zachar is for the irrespective of age, and Nekeva, they're going to line up the extra vav by Isha. Isha ve'isha. And the reason that they don't use the other limud to find Zachar, which is Ish Ish, because there they believe Divrat Torah Lashon Bnei Adam. So they don't have a drosha by Zachar, because Ish Ish they don't subscribe to, but Isha Ve'isha, that they do subscribe to. So they have a limud irrespective of age for a Nidar Zava, but they don't have that by Zachar. So they will use the word Zachar here to tell you that irrespective of age, there's a din of Zav for a Zachar. Nekeva is extraneous, because they learned that out of Isha Ve'isha, and that we learn for the Mayanot of the Mitzorat. Amar Rav Yosef, Kiposhit Rabbi Shimon Galakish Vizav, when Rabbi Shimon Lakish was teaching involved Doresh in the Inyan of Zav, Boyochit, he had the following question. Riha Rishona Shel Zav, Katan, Mau. The first sighting of Zav for a Katan, a minor, what is the din Shittitameh B'maga? Does it have Tumah at Maga? Does it have Tumah when you come into contact with it? Because Zot Torah HaZav, Vasher Tetzeh Mimenu Shechvat Zera, Amar Rachmana. The Torah, when it tells you about the first sighting of Zav, it connects it to Shechvat Zera. It equates it to Shechvat Zera. Kol Shechvat Zera Shelo Mitameh. Do I think that only somebody where semen is impactful and is Mitameh, which means you have to be a Gadol, you have to be of age, or maybe at least over the age of 9 years in one day. In that case, then your Shechvat Zera is Mitameh. Therefore, Riyah Rishono Shelo Mitameh. So too, his first sighting of Zav will also be Mitameh. Hi, came into Shechvat Zera Shelo, lo mitama. But over here, this youngster, where he doesn't have Shechvat Zera that is impactful, then Riyah Rishona, lami lo tidameh. Then maybe his first sighting of Zav should also not be mitameh. Odilma, came into Ilu Yuchazi Tarte, if he sees two mitstarfa, if he has a second sighting, it'll be mitstarefet and mitamya. And therefore it should be tameh from the outset. So you have actually by Zav, three different types of Zav. That depends on the number of emissions that the Zav has. And that's based on the Psukim. The Pasuk says, the Ruv and Esel, Vamartalem, Ish Ish, Kea Zav, Mibzaro, Zovo, Tamehu. So the word Zav and Zovo appear in that Pasuk. It means twice. So if you have two sightings, then Tamehu. Then he is Tameh. In the next Pasuk it says, Vizotia Tumato, Bizovo, Rar Bizaro, Ed Zovo, Oichtim Bizaro, Mizovo, Tumatohi. There it mentions three times the word Zav in the subsequent pasuk, and that means that when he has three sightings, he's also Tameh. What's the difference between two sightings and three sightings? Two sightings make him Tameh, that he has to wait Shiva Nikivim, and after the Shiva Nikivim, he's Tahor. If three sightings, then he has to wait Shiva Nikivim, and after he finishes the Shiva Nikivim on the eighth day, he's got to bring a Korban for Tumat HaZav. So that's the difference between two sightings and three sightings. Each one of them is independent. Now, there's also a case of one sighting. To get to two or three sightings, you need to have at least one sighting. That the Torah speaks about in the world of Shechvat Zera. The second to last pasuk in the Parsha Metzora, it says, Zot Torah Tzav, Vashir Titzei Mimenu Shechvat Zera, the Tamaba. So over there, the Torah Tzav, there's only mentioned the word Zav once, and that has the same din as Shechvat Zera. So the Gemara connects between the single emission of a Zav and Shechvat Zera, that they have the same Tumah. Which means that if you have a single emission or discharge of Zav, then you're Tamei Tumat Erev. You're Tamei for one day, you go to the mikveh, and at sunset on that day, you are Tahor. So that equation, which equates Shechvat Zera to Zav, how literally do we take it? Do we take it so literally that a Katan, who can't have a seminal emission, so he also can't have a Zav emission, at least in the terms of the first emission. The first emission itself will not be Tamei. He will be Tamei, and he will also become Tamei even further if he has a second emission. Once he has a second emission, everybody agrees that that emission has the din like a regular Zav, because over there there's no comparison to Shechvat Zera. So once he has the second emission, he's clearly, that emission is Tamei like any other Zav. So the question is, how do I view this Katan? Do I say that when he has the first emission, the connection, the correlation with Shechvat Zera is so strong that just like he can't have Tumat Shechvat Zera, he can't have Tumat Zav? Or do I say that this one Riyah will be added together with the next Riyah to make him Tamei, Tumat Shiv'ah, for Zav, because the second emission has no connection to Shechvat Zera? So if it can be Mitztaref to the second emission, maybe it makes it that the first emission is Tamei, irrespective of whether he can have a sighting of Shechvat Zera or not. That's the question posed by Reish Lakish. So Amar Rabba, Rabba tries to answer and says, Tashma, Zot Torat HaZav, the pasuk of Zot Torat HaZav, we learn, Ben Gadol, Ben Gadon, whether he is of age or whether he's not of age. That was the limud we saw from Beit Hillel before, that Zot Torat HaZav teaches you that a Zav is impacted no matter what his age is. Ma Gadol, just like by a Gadol, Riya Rishona Shelo Mitamei, the first sighting of Zov that comes out of him, that liquid is Mitamei, of Katan, Riya Rishona, Nami Mitamei. There's a correlation or a Hekesh between the ages of the individual, because it says Zot Torat HaZav, any Zav. So any Zav should have the same din. That means just like a Gadol, if he had a discharge of emission of Zav, it would be Tamei, so too by the Katan. So that's the answer that Rava brought by Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef had a different question. First sighting of a Mitzora, what is the din of the emission that he had or the discharge that he had? Does it have the din of a regular Zav? Or does it have a din of a Mitzora? Mikom Ziva Mayanhu. Do we say where the Zov emission happens, that's considered to be a Mayan? And if it's a Mayan Mitamei, it has the din of a Mitzora with a discharge. And a Mitzora with a discharge that comes from Mayan, the discharge is made Tumat Maga and Tumat Masa. And it's Mitamei Lach and not Yavesh. So maybe that should be the case. So Dilma, La Mayanu. Or maybe it's not a Mayan because it's not Mitagel V'yotze. It doesn't pull and then be discharged. If that's the case, then it's only Tamei because it is a Zavi mission, but it's not Tamei because of Mitzora. Mitzora has no impact on it. And therefore it would only be Mitamei Tumat Maga, not Tumat Masa. And as Rashi points out, the question here is not about the first emission by a regular individual, because the first emission of a Zav is compared to Shechvat Zera, and Shechvat Zera doesn't have Tumat Masa. So it's clear there that the first Zav emission is not Mitamei Tumat Masa for a regular Zav. It also doesn't ask about the second sighting for a regular Zav, because over there it's clear that it is Mitamei Tumat Masa. The question is really here by the case of where you're combining Mitzora and Zav. So we know what the din would be by a Zav alone. Question is, in the Riyah Rishona, when he is a Mitzora, does being a Mitzora then change the din of this individual so that the first emission has a din like a Mayan, and therefore he's Tamei Mitzad, the Mayanot of a Mitzora, not because of the Zav inherently, because if he was a Zav that was from someone who was Tahor, then there wouldn't be any Tumat Masa. That's the nature of Rabbi Yosef's question. And even though the Gemara in other places seems to make it clear that it is not classified as a Mayan, nevertheless, the Gemara is asking that maybe in the world of Mitzora, which has a special Riboy for Mayanot, maybe that will garner this emission a higher standing and make it into a Mayan, even though in other halachot it's not a Mayan. Or we have to say, when the Gemara says in other places that it's not a Mayan, it doesn't mean they're stating that as a fact. They're saying if you classify it as not being a Mayan, then this would be the din. Amar Rava, once again, Rava comes to try to answer the question and says, Tashma, Zovo Tamehu. It says that his Zov, his emission is Tameh. Limeid ala Zov Shu Tameh. That comes to teach you that the emission of the Zav, the liquid itself, is Tameh. Bimai, what are you speaking about? Ibalema Bizab Greda. If you're speaking about a Zav himself, then why does that make sense? Lacherim Gorim Tuma, as Rashi says over here, the Zov emission that he has that causes the person who's seeing the emission to become Tameh, then that's Mo Lo Kosha Kane, then for himself, of course it should make it Tameh, meaning for the Zov itself. If the emission of the Zov by an individual makes that individual Tameh, then the Zov itself certainly should be Tameh. El of Shita, that can't be what the Bright is speaking about. El must be speaking about a Zav Mitzora. And that will render the Kal v'chomer moot, because in this situation, the Tumat Masa is deriving from the Mitzora itself, nothing to do with the emission of the Zav. And the Tosfot Rosh discusses why that is the case, even though Tumat Zav adds on things to Tumat Mitzora. As far as Tumat Masa is concerned, Mitzora has that inherently and does not need the Tumat Zav to generate that. And therefore, you no longer have a Kal v'chomer to teach you about the Masa of the emission. And the Itzrich Gra, the Rebuye, the Riyah, Shniyah, if you need a pasuk to tell you that the second sighting is Tamei, then Shmamina Makom Ziva Lav Mayanu. That makes it clear that the area of the emission of the Zov, or that emission of the Zov, is not considered to be a Mayan. Because the pasuk that they're quoting in the Braita is Zovo Tamei. So Vol Tameh is found in the Pasuk Bet, where it says, Dabruo b'nei so, marta elem ishki azav, that's one. Mibzaro, Zobo, that's two. Tamehu. So only at two sightings is considered to be Tameh. Now, the Bright that's coming to tell you, at his second emission, Tameh. Why do I need you to tell me that? If the emission makes the individual Tameh, then certainly the emission itself should be Tameh. And so what Rova says is it must not be speaking about a regular Zav, it must be speaking about a Zav who is a Mitzora. Now, Zav was a Mitzora has two different problems. He has a problem of the Zav emission, and he has a problem of Mitzora. Now, Mitzora has a din that if he has a Mayan, that it is Tameh when he discharges from that. So now, if that was the case, that it was a Mayan, then he should be Tameh from the first emission. Why is it that he's only Tameh from the second emission? How do I know it's talking about the second emissions? Because the pasuk they're quoting is a pasuk that speaks about two emissions and says you are Tameh. It's saying to me that even though you are a Mitzora, the Zav emission is only Mitameh from the second emission and onward. If that's the case, then it's clear that the first emission is not Tameh, and the only reason the first emission would not be Tameh is because it's not a Mayan. So if it's not a Mayan, I need a pasuk to tell me that the second emission is Tameh. And so what you see from that is, Shmamina Makom Ziva Lav Mayanu. You can see clearly that the area of the Ziva, or the discharge of Zov, is not considered to be a Mayan. It's not a Mayan. Then it's not affected by the Mitzora being a Mitzora. The Zov itself is Tameh because of the fact that it impacts on the individual that discharged it. And therefore it's a Kal v'chomer that it itself is Tameh. But that's not Midin Mayan. That's Midin the Zav or the Zov itself. Tosafot doesn't like Rashi's explanation as to what it means La'cherim Goreim Tuma. Causes other people Tuma, so it itself should be Tameh. Rashi over here says that it causes tumat masa for the individual, meaning el yono shel zav. It creates a problem for el yono shel zav, then certainly it should be a problem in and of itself. Tosafot says he doesn't think that's right for a number of reasons. Number one is that el yono shel zav is only tamei tumat uchlim imashkim, not ava tuma. Number two is the only way you can find a case like that based on the Rashbam's explanation at the beginning of the perek would be if you found a drop of Zob inside of a scale, which doesn't seem to be a reasonable case or a situation that you would have thought of. And most importantly, because El Yono Shel Zav is not called Masa. And Rav Yosef's whole question revolved around the issue of Masa. Therefore, he thinks to explain that it causes Tumat Masa to the Zav. Anybody who carries the Zav is going to be Tameh. And so if you carry the Zav because he's Tameh because of his emission, then certainly carrying the emission itself should make you Tameh. And that's the way Tosafot learns the Kal v'chomer, that if the emission makes the individual so Tameh that if you carry him, he's Tameh Tumat Masa, then certainly if you carry the emission itself, it should make you Tameh Tumat Masa. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda midiskarta the Rabba. Rabbi Yehuda midiskarta challenges Rabba and says, Mimai, how do you know that that limud in the bright is talking about a mitzora that has zav? Dilma lola meimelecha. The zav greda. It's talking about a regular zav. Ugdamart acherim goreim truma. Let's molo kosh again. If you say that it's a kal v'chomer, if it can cause truma to others, it certainly should be tamei itself. I have something that undermines that, which is seir mishtaleach yochiach. The seir mishtaleach of Yom HaKippurim has that din exactly. Shegoreim truma le'acherim, the person who takes it out to the midbar to throw it over the cliff, he becomes tamei from his avoda of working with the seir mishtaleach, who has motor. But the seir mishtaleach itself is not tamei, because it's alive. As long as it's alive, it's not tamei. So there you see that there is such a chiluk, that even if you are mitamei acherim, doesn't mean you yourself are tamei. So if that's the case, then by a zav too. Maybe it's possible that the emission makes the individual tamei, but it itself is not tamei. Samar Abaye, mighty baile. What was the question in the first place? Bahud Amar says, I don't understand what Rav Yosef's question was from the outset. Abaye is the Talmud of Rav Yosef, and he's saying, I don't really understand what his question was, because Rav Yosef was the one that brought down, in the name of Beit Hillel, in his first question, when he was speaking about Reish Lakish, he brought down the limud of Zotarat Azav, Ben Gadol, Ben Katan, came to Nafkale Mehotam. If he learned out the din of Zav Gadol and Katan from Zotarat Azav, then he artele la Zachar, the Rabot Mitzorah, the Mayinotav, Nikeva, the Rabot Mitzorah, the Mayinotav. Then he has the word Zachar Nekeva, which are in the next pasuk that are extraneous, to teach you that the Mayanot of a Mitzorah are Tmeim, and the Mayanot of a Mitzorat are Tmeot. V'akshe Rachmana Mitzorah Lezav. And in that pasuk, there is a hekesh between Mitzorah and Zav Gamor. That Mitzorah has a hekesh with the Zav Gamor. Mazav Gamor Mitamei B'Masa. Just like a Zav Gamor is Mitamei B'Masa. Afri Iyari Shonah Shom Mitzorah Mitamei B'Masa. So too, the Mayan of the Mitzorah, or the discharge of the mitzorah, should be tamei b'masa. And that's because the pasuk says, v'adava minidata, v'zav et zovo. Zav et zovo is emission of zav, la'zachar v'la nekeva. And we just learned that the zachar includes the mayanot of a mitzorah, and nekeva includes the mayanot of a mitzorat. And right there, there's a hekesh between zav and zachar. And that hekesh tells you that whatever is true by the zav is also true by the mayanot of the mitzorah. And the hekesh of mitzorah is to a zav gamur, because the pasuk speaks about a zav and zovo, which is two emissions. So that makes him into a full-fledged zav. And we already said by the zav that his emissions are tmeim, zovo tamehu, limeda la zov shuhu tameh. We know that the emission of a zav, who's a full-fledged zav, who has two re'iot, is tameh. And you're telling me there's a hekesh between a zav and zovo, the zav who has two emissions to a mitzorah, so af mitzorah, so to the mitzorah, wherever emission of zov that he has, will be mitamei b'masa. Just like the second emission of a zav is tamei b'masa, so too the first emission of zav of a mitzorah will be mitamei b'masa, and that's because of the hekesh of a zav et zovo to zakar. The mayanota mitzorah are connected to a zav who had two emissions. Just like a zav who has two emissions, the zav emission itself is tamei tumat masa. So too, the first emission of a zav for a mitzorah will be tamei tumat masa. And therefore, Abaye says, I don't even know why Rabbi Yosef's question got off the ground based on his drashot, because his drashot would lead you to a conclusion and an answer to his question before he starts. Rashi does bring a second version of what the question of Rabbi Yosef was, as well as maybe what the continuation of the Gemara is. The question is that by a regular Zav, where he goes from being Tahor to be Tameh through the sighting, and therefore it's definitely Mitabe Masa, but the question is by Mitzorah, where he's already Tameh, and the sighting of the Zav doesn't make him Tameh, then does that Mitame Tumat Masa? That is the question was, we deem it to be a Mayan, and then it would be Tameh beside Mayan, but not beside the Zav. And he rejects it outright. He says it's shibushu mipnei kama shubot, a mistaken understanding of the Gemara for a number of reasons, including the fact that the Riyah Rishona of Azav clearly is not mitamei b'masa, as well as the fact that the Sukkim that Rava brings as the proof text are clearly speaking about a Zav with the second Riyah, not a Zav with the first Riyah, and other issues that he raises here as to why that explanation cannot be correct. And he says it was precipitated by some addition to the Gemara that was really a Perush, then that got included into the text of the Gemara itself, and that's what confused people to suggest such a thing. Okay, we're going to stop here, 15 lines down on the top of Lamed Hei Omed Aleph.